Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 15 and 16. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." So the title, distraught, inconsolable, unseeing, unhearing, uncomprehending. Got to turn the page. Mary. There's a question to answer today. Bit of a mystery. Why is it that Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus when she was looking right at him? And it probably isn't what you think. But let's set the stage. Outside the tomb, Easter morning, picture it if you will, the group of women, early in the morning, have come and gone, and unable to anoint the dead body of Jesus, they leave disappointed, even though there was an angel who appeared to them and said that he was risen. And somehow the message didn't get through. Why? Because those things don't happen. And Peter and John have come to look, looked in the tomb, seeing the things, the grave cloths and the face cloth folded up by itself, and they went away confused. And they didn't get it either. So Mary Magdalene is there. She remains outside the tomb, weeping. And as she weeps, she looks in and she sees two angels, one at the head, one at the feet, where the dead body of Jesus had been, the grave cloth in the middle, stained with the blood of Jesus. And the picture is absolutely amazing. And there's a story that goes with this. There was a pastor, one of our good Missouri Synod pastors, who had a friend, an unbelieving, actually a Jewish friend, who was talking to him. And this friend of the pastor's was in the last stages of cancer. And he was mourning because there's no temple. There's no place to bring an offering. What am I to do with my sins? Where can my sins go? They're on me, and it's too heavy. There's no temple. There's no mercy seat, the place of the offering, there in the Holy of Holies. And this pastor friend of ours says to him, "You want to see the mercy seat? I'll show you the mercy seat." And opens to this passage in the book of John. And Mary looks into the tomb, and there, an angel at the head, an angel at the foot, and the grave cloth in between with the blood of the sacrifice. And he says, "There's your mercy seat. The offering given for us, so that your sins can be lifted off of you and carried away by the sacrifice." Not like the sacrifices of the Old Testament, by the sacrifice who came, decided to be born for us, to come into this world, to be the sacrifice so his blood could cover your sins, came to be the sacrifice to bring your sins off away with him. Early service, I asked one of the little kids, "If I were to give you a little card that said, 'My sins,' where would you put it?" And he finally caught on, "Over at the cross." And then I said, "If I gave you another one and said, 'My sins,' where else would you put it?" He needed a few hints. "Here. In the waters of baptism, where God drowned my sins." Then I said to him, "And if I gave you another card, where would you put it?" By this time, his family is whispering to him. Say, "At the altar, at the altar. Where at the altar?" Well, right here where the communion is, where Jesus says over this cup, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And Mary needed to learn this, that her sins had been carried away by Jesus. They were gone. There's the place of God's mercy, the place where Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over death and hell, victorious over sin and the devil, victorious over everything, and bringing life right out of the tomb, right out of the place of death, life right to you and me. And the living one then comes to the disciples and comes to all of his believers, and the living one comes to us today with his word, with his body and his blood, to give himself to us so that you and I, we can eat and drink this living body and blood of Jesus and have the life of Jesus, the life of the eternal God right there within us. How amazing is that? But that doesn't answer our question. We talked about Mary looking into the tomb and what she saw there. But, woman, why are you weeping? Well, because she knew that Jesus was dead. She was absolutely certain that Jesus was dead. She wanted to know where his dead body was. She's not the last one on that day, but she is the first to ask Jesus, what happened to your dead body? Does God have a sense of humor? And Jesus lets this roll along. Let's Mary Magdalene ask where Jesus' dead body is. Later on, he would walk with the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and he would let them talk. How they were so disappointed in him because he was dead. It's very strange. It does kind of remind me of one day in the church office, a different one than this, when I got a phone call, and somebody said, you need to call Irvin and tell him that his friends are down at Hardee's and they're talking about how he's dead. And he needs to show up there. Yeah, it happened. Rumors get started. So I call him up. You know what he says? I'm always the last to hear. Then he says, why didn't anybody tell me? And then he says, oh yeah, I know why they didn't tell me. So Jesus stands there with Mary Magdalene, and she's sure that he's dead, and she's mourning because she's telling Jesus how she can't take the dead body of Jesus and care for it. And then Jesus says to her, Mary. But even that doesn't answer a question. Why was it that Mary could not recognize Jesus looking right at him? You go off to the theologians and they'll try speculating something about the human mind and being prevented from recognizing, and the theology of how Jesus can appear and yet prevent people from recognizing. There's a simple answer. She was crying. She was crying so badly, tears all over in her eyes, streaming down her face. And it's like, you're all blurry. You know, she sees a blurred person stand. Mr. Blurred Person, where did you take the body of Jesus? And he has to reveal himself to her. It comes as a total shock. And you think about that. Every single one of his disciples on Easter and Thomas a week later, absolutely convinced that he was dead. Absolutely, totally convinced. And it is only when Jesus reveals himself standing there in front of them that they finally realize, what? Nothing is what I thought it was. And the whole world shifts. All of life changes. The future, it isn't what it was just a moment before. Everything is opened up. And they know. They know that he lives. And now, the future is eternity. And life is with God. And the troubles of this life don't end in defeat. They end up with God winning. And it's just that huge. The change has been made. Jesus has done it. But why does Jesus allow her to have that moment of despair and crying and not recognizing him? There is actually a good reason. Because Easter is a thing that God does, and he does it on his own. It's a thing of grace. And it's intended to be a surprise for the whole human race, something that none of us would have expected, because these things just don't happen. A dead person does not decide to come back to life. Well, that's enough time being dead, time to do something else. Completely ridiculous. It could never happen. And God says, watch me. It's the pattern of grace. God on his own doing things with nobody else to help. As the eternal God is conceived and born and comes into the world as a little baby. Oh, that can't happen. You can't put God into a tiny little baby and have him still be the Almighty. And God says, watch me. As God, the second person of the Trinity, God is hungry and thirsty and weeps outside of Lazarus' tomb. God, subject to the weaknesses of our human race. It makes no sense, can't happen. And God says, watch me. And as God takes sin on himself, as God stands under the judgment of God, as God is forsaken by God, as God bows his head and the eternally living God dies, how can it be? It's just simply impossible. And God says, watch me. No matter how many times and ways Jesus had said to his disciples that he was going up to Jerusalem and that he would die and on the third day he would rise, it was completely beyond anything they could ever understand. This is Easter. And Easter is the day for God to reveal what he's been doing and planning and arranging since the beginning of the world. As the saying goes, hiding it right out there in the open, in plain sight, so that the reaction over and over again, as the disciples and as others finally see the risen Lord, the reaction, oh, So that is what the Old Testament was all about. There's a joy in the pattern of how Jesus reveals himself to Mary, to the two on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples in the upper room, to Thomas a week later. It is the joy of suddenly waking up to the truth of what God has been doing all around us. That Jesus is the Savior, that Christ is risen. That your sins really are forgiven. That Jesus wants you to live forever with Him. And that He is going to raise you and make you glorious like He is. It's Easter. And Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.